Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
This is a Joy 94.9 podcast presented by Paul Anthony with the assistance of the Gay and Lesbian Liaison Officers, Victoria Police, Crime Stoppers and Joy 94.9 working together to make our community safe.
Gay and Lesbian Radio for Melbourne, Australia and the world at joy.org.au.
Joy 94.9, Paul Anthony with you on the conch, and we're down live at the Victoria Police Media Centre with the Gay and Lesbian Liaison Officers. It's a full four-hour broadcast. Scotty Davis, welcome.
Thanks, Paul. I want to know whose idea this was.
I'm not sure. And Gabby Tayak, welcome also.
Was it my idea, Scott?
I don't know, but I want to find the person.
No, it wasn't me.
Also alongside of us, we do have from the Anti-Violence Project, Greg Adkins.
Good morning, folks. Congratulations on the Glows on being here and allowing Paul to bring his show to the police centre.
Isn't it great to actually be inside the bowels of the police centre, if I can use that word?
It's a little bit strange, Scotty, because it's an outside broadcast inside. And I kind of feel like I'm in a bit of a bunker, so we won't know what it's like outside at the moment.
People need to understand that we can't see the outside world at all.
No.
There are no windows. We're inside a soundproof room, although we want people to come in and see us. It's a bit bizarre.
And it's very presidential down here, isn't it?
It is. If people can imagine watching The West Wing when CJ Craig stands up with the press conference, it's very much like that behind us. We've got lots of big police signs. We've got banners from the Anti-Violence Project, from Joy, and from the Gay and Lesbian Liaison Officers.
And we might be trying to get some photos uploaded onto the website so people could have a look where we are and have a look at what kind of room we're in, what we're doing, what we look like.
Yes. Now let's take a step back, Scotty, because I know I keep mentioning this, and you hate it when I mention it, but it's probably about 3 years ago now that it took...
That you started stalking me.
That I took you 2.5 years to actually get you to come in and start talking to us, and now we're here in the Victoria Police Centre. This has got to be amazing.
It's pretty amazing, and not only that, but it's pretty historic moment, really. I cannot recall any other radio station broadcasting live from the Victoria Police Centre, but I certainly cannot recall any other community radio station broadcasting live from the Victoria Police Centre. And if we think back 10 years ago, Greg, and the relationship between police and the GLBTI communities, it wasn't real strong at that time, was it?
Well, I remember going to a meeting at the then police centre with the Chief Commissioner of Police and being made to wait for almost an hour and 20 before we could get in the door
at
the appointed time. So things have changed. The culture's changed. It's fantastic.
Do they know we're here? We're not going to, like, you know, get locked up or anything.
They certainly do know
like
we're here.
Port.
If it wasn't for the police media unit, whose space we're in, we certainly wouldn't be here. They've set up the laptop over there so we can get SMSs and emails in. They've certainly given us the space. They've even put on a little bit of a spread down the back of the room there, if you notice.
Oh, look at that.
There's a bit of food there and some
I don't want to have any liquid in case I've got to run off the toilet, but let's have a quick look at who's coming on today. We've got Peter Sprott, who's the Executive Director of Crime Stoppers Victoria. We have the Chief Commissioner, Simon Overland, who's coming in. He's going to make a big announcement.
And that's a half-hour interview, that one.
Senior Sergeant Tim Hardiman from the Community Safety Month Organisers Group. Also, leading Senior Constable Craig McDonald, who will talk to us about Operation Safe Plate, car registration, so you can't
one-way screws, all that sort of stuff.
Rick and Elise from the police band will be coming in to play a song, which I still don't know what it is, Scotty.
No, right. You don't need to know.
Okay.
Can I just say it won't be Who the Hell Are You?
Okay. Well, why not? They could redo it for me. Senior Sergeant Dennis Tocock will be talking about weapons and the
The firearms and amnesty. Weapons amnesty?
Yeah, because they had one a few years ago, didn't they?
We have one every year.
Sergeant Benjamin Taylor, the Docklands Community Safety Day.
That's a big day.
That's a huge day later in October.
Dr. Mark Stokes from Kids Safe Victoria, who's doing a presentation in Caroline Springs on bike, playground and road safety. And also Sergeant Artie
Lavis. Whilst October is Community Safety Month, it's also Bike Safety Month. So he's coming in from our bike patrol units, and he'll talk a little bit about that.
Ruth from the Mental Illness Fellowship from the Open Mind Fiesta. Also, we'll be having Gemma DeMarco from Also coming out safety. As well as that, as we do every Thursday on the Conch, we will have Ray Alfonso in to tell us about the drag school.
That'll be exciting.
They're wrapping up because the gala's coming. We've got Michael Scott in from Minus 18, and the president of Joy, Stephen Duns, will be in for a chat as
well. And anybody else who happens to walk past the door and we just stand them in front of a microphone.
Grab them and pull them in.
Yes. We're currently down broadcasting live from the Victoria Police Centre for Community Safety Month.
Joy 94.9.
Joining us now, we do have Jo Baird from Crime Stoppers.
Hello, welcome. Paul. Thank you very much. Excited to be here.
We're going to kick off very shortly with our crimes that we do each and every week, which is how this all started, didn't it?
That's exactly right.
The police coming in.
Jo, that's one of the real strengths of the Crime Stoppers website, isn't it? That people can go there and view photos at any time.
Absolutely. We've got pages and pages of unsolved crimes. At the moment, we've got over 1,400 unsolved crimes in the database there, as well as pages of wanted people. And as I always say, these are all people who are living in the community. They're all people living next door to someone. So as many people as we can get to go to the website, the more chance we have of solving these crimes.
So you can get across to the Crime Stoppers website, crimestoppers.com.au, and view those photos. And if you do have any information, you can do that via the website or you can make a phone call, 1-800-333-000.
Greg Adkins from the Anti-Violence Project. Greg, how exciting.
Oh, it's great being here, and particularly good, Paul, to meet Peter Sprott. Fantastic.
Give them Hi.
The man that heads the Crime Stoppers.
The big wig.
Yes, he is the big wig.
I don't know about that.
Now, Peter Sprott, you're the Executive Director of Crime Stoppers Victoria, but not only that, you're the Director of Crime Stoppers Australia. Can you tell us what the difference is between the two?
Certainly can, yes. Crime Stoppers Australia is a federation that represents all of the eight different individual Crime Stoppers state and territory operations. There's Crime Stoppers Victoria has a director that represents Victoria's interests on that national level, as does at the ACT, New South Wales, etc. So we meet on a pretty regular basis, about quarterly. We meet with, for example, a representative of the combined commissioners of police around the country at a national level to look at ways that we can assist the Crime Stoppers programs in a cross-jurisdictional manner. For example, it might be initiatives on specific types of crime where all police jurisdictions are interested in the same outcomes, or it might be raising sponsorship across a national level, which is a key part of what we do.
Is Crime Stoppers, it's not the same as Victoria Police, is it? It's a separate entity.
No, it's perhaps a fairly common misconception. There are 1,400 Crime Stoppers operations around the world, and every one of them is a not-for-profit charity. That is what we do. We raise funds to support Victoria Police through the Crime Stoppers program and to promote and market it. Now, that's not to say there isn't a Crime Stoppers unit in Victoria Police. My colleague Joe, who was on a moment ago, is part of that unit. That is actually the call centre where people phone in or indeed go in online more and more to report information about crime. But our role is to encourage the community to do that, and also to encourage the community to think in terms of what their responsibilities are for their own safety, basically.
So it's a partnership between Victoria Police, the Crime Stoppers and the community?
Exactly. We think of it as the original three-legged stool. We need the community, we need the police, and we need us, and if one of them breaks, the whole thing falls over.
So, Peter, no Victoria Police members actually work for Crime Stoppers, is that correct?
For Crime Stoppers Victoria, that is correct. Voluntary board of directors and one or two employees, primarily me, and we have a lot of great supporters who come in on a pro bono basis or on a contract basis to help us in the various activities that we do.
How does Crime Stoppers go about choosing which sort of crime they put focus to and which sort of crime they put on the TV on Crime Stoppers?
When you see, for example, the Channel 9 target crime on a Monday or a Wednesday evening, that is selected by Victoria Police through the Crime Stoppers unit, because they will decide, as they quite rightly should, for example, the vision that is available on a particular case will work on television. The case that Gabrielle mentioned a little while ago had great vision, CCT vision, so it actually would show up very well on television, and I'd feel very confident that someone will recognise that individual.
What's the record time, the smallest time possible from the viewing to when the first phone call's gone off?
I believe that that would be bordering on instantaneous. Obviously, it can vary depending on how obvious it is. But what is particularly interesting is there have been occasions when people have seen themselves there. indeed, that did happen last year, and those people wandered straight into the nearest police station and said, I'm gone, here I am.
Oh, that's fantastic.
When you're live on television with your face there, it's pretty obvious.
They want to get themselves before someone else gets them.
Exactly.
Can you tell us, it's Community Safety Month, what do you see as the major contribution of Crime Stoppers to Victoria's safety?
I think that sometimes you just need to be calling a spade a spade. Basically, less crime and more people who commit crime off the streets means a safer community. What we do at Crime Stoppers Victoria is help promote the concept that there's 4 million, 5 million pairs of eyes out there keeping an eye on our community, and not just keeping an eye out for, you know, crooks or thieves or robbers or whatever else it might be, but also keeping an eye out for their mates to make sure they're safe. We have issues at the moment, as you know, with activities that are pretty unpleasant with some students from overseas and for young people with violence and so forth, and we're extremely keen to promote that concept that you can do something about that. You don't have to get direct involved, but you can call Crime Stoppers if you know who's someone who's up to no good, and you can do that without revealing who you are.
So Peter, you'd welcome some really strong input from the gay and lesbian community. If anyone from the gay and lesbian community recognises faces, they should get on the blow and ring Crime Stoppers.
Absolutely, yes. I think that it's very important to note that we don't operate as an entity that thinks about anything other than whole of community. Everybody, whether they be from a multicultural background, which is a particularly important part about what we do, or regardless of orientation or anything else.
Peter, before I let you go, can you just reiterate to us how safe it is to call up? So when I call up, you don't know it's me calling, and if I'm on the internet, you don't know that either.
I don't know who you are. In fact, I would never know because I'm not even allowed to answer the phones. That's not what I do. But the people who do answer the phones or take those, they have no caller ID. They will ask a person if they are available to be contacted by an investigator, but there is absolutely no obligation. I think the commonly revealed issue is that with 500,000 plus calls to Crime Stoppers over 20 years, not one identity has ever been revealed.
Peter Sprott, Executive Director of Crime Stoppers Victoria and the Director of Crime Stoppers Australia, thank you so much for joining us here at the broadcast down at the Police Media Centre. We look forward to continue working with Crime Stoppers.
My pleasure. Thank you for your support.
You're on Joy 94.9. Paul Anthony with the Gay and Lesbian Liaison Officers and Greg Adkins up next. The Big Chief's in.
Bringing a whole new meaning to community. Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9, Paul Anthony with you on the conch, and we're down live at the Victoria Police Media Centre. We do have gay and lesbian liaison officers, Scott Davis, Gabby Tayak, and from the Anti-Violence Project, we have Greg Adkins.
Paul, it's kicking along today.
It is, isn't
it? Crime Stoppers were fantastic, weren't they?
They were good. Scotty, how are you coping over there?
I'm doing well. I've managed to duck up the back there for a little bit and got some orange juice.
And there's people galore down here at the moment, so that's great. Our next guest, he's got a Bachelor of Arts in Administration. He's got a Graduate Diploma in Legal Studies, Bachelor of Laws with First Class Honours. Started his policing career with the Australian Federal Police in 1984, and in February 2003 became Assistant Commissioner for Crime with Victoria Police. Promoted to Deputy Commissioner in July 2006. He's now appointed the 20th Chief Commissioner for Victoria Police. Welcome to Joy 94.9, Chief Commissioner Simon Overland.
G'day, Paul. Nice to be here.
Today, the first day of Community Safety Month, which runs throughout whole of October. So what better way to start the month than being on community radio? Do you agree?
Absolutely.
Fantastic. You've worked in community policing with Australian Federal Police, and I also note in your press release that was put out on the day of your announcement of Chief Commissioner that you were quoted a number of times talking about your commitment to the community. And the idea is, well, quite obvious, I guess, it's important to you, but how important is it to policing?
Oh, it's the basis of good policing, in my view. We police with the community. We don't police the community, and there's an important difference between those two concepts. So we work best when working with the community. Most of the community does the right thing most of the time. They cooperate with us. They support us. I guess the Crime Stoppers piece that you've just done is a really great example of that. It's relying on the community giving us information to help us solve crime. So to me, good policing is all about the community and how we connect with the community, or communities, as is the case right across this great state of ours. And so we need to do a lot of work around that and around making sure we connect well with all the communities, that we build trust, we build understanding, and we have people work with us.
And personal responsibility is really important when we start talking about that. The police do play a certain role in ensuring the safety of the community, but personal responsibility plays a big part in ensuring that the whole community is safe.
Absolutely, Scott. And that's something I've been talking about in the 7 months I've been in the role, that it is very much about taking responsibility for your own safety. All sorts of sensible precautions you can take to protect your property, to protect yourself, to protect your friends, acting responsibly, you know, not being drunk and disorderly in public or anywhere for that matter. So there's a whole stack of stuff that the community can do that helps us, and we obviously need to do our bit to help them.
And that trust relationship, Chief Commissioner, is one that doesn't happen instantly. This is actually an ongoing conversation between various diverse communities and Victoria Police to develop that over time.
Absolutely. And as I said, it's about communities. There is not, in a sense, one homogenous community across Victoria. It's a remarkably diverse community or set of communities that we have here. All sorts of differences. And the gay and lesbian segment, I'm sure even within that, there would be different communities within the broader gay and lesbian community.
You just have to look at some of the support groups that exist within the gay and lesbian community. Mm. There's, you know, Out Black for Aboriginal people, there's Yellow Kitties for Asian lesbians, and the list goes on and on and on. And you're absolutely right, the gay and lesbian community is as diverse as the mainstream community is.
And there's the ethnic mix and the religious mix and all sorts of wonderful vibrancy that is part of our community, but it's a challenge to police.
When doing the program with Scott and Gabby, when they come in and have their chat, I didn't actually realise there was other liaison officers for other sections of the policing community.
That's right.
I just thought there was just the gay and lesbian liaison officers, but there's a whole heap.
Well, there's multicultural liaison officers. A new initiative has been around emerging communities. Mm. So we understand as new communities arrive, often as refugees, there's real challenges in how they actually understand our community and the way it works. Often they come with mistrust of police based on the experience in the countries from where they come. And so it's really important that we get in early, we work with them, we build that trust and that respect and that understanding.
And hasn't that been a success of the Gay and Lesbian Liaison Unit and the GLOWS, that building of trust and building of respect? Because we did have some rough patches, Chief Commissioner, but I think we're well on the smooth area to actually building firmer relationships and dealing with some of the crime that impacts the gay and lesbian community, such as hate-motivated crime, prejudice crime, that sort of stuff.
And it's all about the relationship, in my view. There will be times when we have problems, but if we've got a strong relationship and we continue to work at the relationship, we work our way through the issues.
That's right.
Commissioner, Scott and Gabby come onto the show each week and they regularly invite guests. They've invited you. We had the Deputy Commissioner Ken Lay, who joined us a couple of weeks ago, and he had Agnita, who was from ABBA. That's the song he chose, and also he had a bit of Al Devo. So we're all waiting with bated breath as to what music you've chosen. Can you tell us what you've chosen and why?
Look, it's two Australian bands, Powderfinger, the track These Days, and The Whitlams, There's No Aphrodisiac Like Loneliness. And I guess I chose them because they're both Australian bands. I like their music, but it seems to me they have something to say. So there's a point to what they're doing, and there's a point that they're trying to get across, and I respect that.
Lesbian and Gay Radio from Melbourne, Joy 94.9.
Well, did you hear that? Joy 94.9, Gay and Lesbian Radio for Melbourne, and the Gay and Lesbian Radio station in Melbourne is coming live from the Victoria Police Centre in their media room. Scotty Davis and Gabby Tyack joining me as well. I've got a bit of a sore hand because our guest shook my hand, and he's quite a strong man. But our guest we do have currently is Chief Commissioner Simon Overland. Let's get down to it. You would have to agree that over the last 9 years, the relationship between the police and the gay community has definitely strengthened.
Absolutely. A lot of hard work on both sides.
Not only that, most significantly, because of the introduction of the Gay and Lesbian Liaison Officers. Your predecessor made a very big stand in showing support for the diverse Victoria community and the support for the diverse workforce within police by participating in Pride March. Do you have any similar plans?
I do. I've been invited to walk as part of the next Pride March, and I've accepted the very kind offer, so I'll be continuing that tradition.
So you're going to be walking down with us?
Absolutely.
How cool is that? Scotty, can we just get that in writing?
We do have it in writing. yes. Brett Hayhoe, the president of Pride March, wrote an official invitation to Simon early this year, and I use that as a good opportunity to reaffirm the fact that Victoria Police is able to participate. We have a new leadership, so we needed to make sure that that was the case. But interestingly, and during the week, we sort of put a bit of a teaser up on the Victoria Police intranet to say that this live broadcast was taking place from the Victoria Police Centre. And we sort of put in that little teaser that the Chief Commissioner would be making a big announcement, which he's just done. And quite humorously, I received a number of phone calls and messages saying, what's the big announcement going to be? And some, a few tongue-in-cheek, saying, is he going to come out as being gay? And I kept it all quiet because we wanted as many people to listen as we possibly could.
All right. Well, no, unfortunately not. Christine Nixon, when she first said that she was going to march, the media went crazy.
Yes.
What do you think it'll be now that they've heard that you're going to march? Do you think the media's going to be as going crazy, or do you think they're just going to go with it?
Oh, I think the way the Herald Sun are behaving at the moment, they'll probably have a bit of a shot. But look, I think we've moved past all of this, haven't we? I think there's greater maturity in the general community when dealing with these issues. I mean, the point I make is that I'm here to police for the entire community. The gay and lesbian community is an important part of the Victorian community, so it's no different from any number of things that I do. Engaging with the Chilean community, the multi-faith dinners that we have.
That's right.
It's no different. I do hundreds of these things a year. To me, it's nothing special, but it's important, I think, to reaffirm our commitment to work with the gay and lesbian community.
Well, one thing you're not doing is you're not hiding, because you've got monthly interactions online with forums for both the community and internally for your staff.
Mm.
So you're certainly quite accessible. How's all that been going?
It's fabulous. I've really enjoyed all of my interaction with the community and the workforce. The online part of it is important because increasingly that's how we communicate. And it's great to be able to chat live and for people to be able to see the exchanges that are taking place and to participate if that's what they want to do. So it's just another way of trying to be open and accessible.
And one of the other really important things that I've been seeing, and probably the community aren't seeing it as much, but you're actively out there with operational police, hearing firsthand from the police about what their issues are. And I know that, for instance, you've been at least been down to Narre Warren and you've done a van shift down there for a little while.
Mm.
What was that sort of experience like?
That was fabulous. It took me back to the start of my policing career, and in a way, not a lot of change. I mean, it's the same issues,
yeah.
And it's the same. It felt very comfortable. What didn't feel so comfortable was all the procedure, which, of course, I'm just not familiar with.
That's
and
right.
I'd lost track. So trying to run the radio and do the running sheet and all of the sort of technical things was a bit of a challenge. But I had a very patient leading senior constable, Paul Clavering, who worked with me.
I was going to ask about that.
He was very much the senior man. And I said, Paul, you're in charge. Just tell me what I need to do. And he was very patient, and we got through it in great order.
And did you get an arrest, and did you get a brief out of it?
No, we did. We got a couple of arrests, and I did get a brief. I got to do an interview.
Fantastic.
Which was my first interview for a while. Paul had to clean it up a little bit at the end. My interview technique was a bit rusty, but it was just great experience, and it's really important for me to get out there and remind myself that's what it's all about and to understand life from that point of view.
And I think that it has a big impact on internally for our staff as well. And there was things like the protest that took place down at the intersection of Flinders Street, where you were down there at 6 o'clock in the morning and said, right, well, we need to remove these people, and I'll be there to support the troops in doing that. And that's a really important move, I think.
Oh, I think it is important. I mean, I do make the point, it's been a long time, well, not that long since I've arrested someone, but it's not my job. It's the, 11,500 police officers out there doing the work, and it's really important that we support them as strongly as we can.
You could pull that line. Don't you know who I am?
I don't have to a lot, Paul. A lot of people seem to know who I am.
I'd love to hear the interview on tape that you did, because you always introduce yourself as Senior Constable Gabrielle Tyack or whatever, whoever you are. They'd be saying I'm Chief Commissioner Simon Overland. So
yeah,
it'd be a famous interview.
I don't remember what I said, actually. I know I said I was Simon Overland. I'm not sure what title I used. I was actually wearing leading senior Connie epaulettes just to sort of downplay it a little bit, and not that worked all that well in some places.
Look, it's great. If you go out, you make a mistake, you sign off of your own stuff anyway.
That's right.
So you'll be right.
I've got a question for Simon, if you don't mind me calling you Simon.
No, please do.
You started your tenure as Chief Commissioner with some really tough agenda items. The bushfires, which affected the broad Victorian community, and many gays and lesbians that lost their businesses and their homes right across the bushfire zones. And then you had the apparent rise, or the reporting of violence against Indian students. Two tough calls. What for you has been the most significant part of your police tenure so far as Chief Commissioner?
Oh, I think the whole public safety issue is very significant, and it's across a broad spectrum. It's both the emergency management part around how we make sure we're in position to deal with the coming summer and the likelihood of further fires, and just making sure we're as well placed as we can be and dealing with the Royal Commission and all the issues coming out of that. But the violence around licensed precincts has obviously been a huge issue, and I think in a way the Indian students is a subset. It's an important part of it, but it's a subset of that broader, I guess, deterioration of public order, and we've been doing a lot of work on that. We're going to continue to do a lot of work on that. It really comes down to the fundamental issue, which is people in our community are entitled to be safe, and we need to work hard to make sure that we can make everyone as safe as we possibly can.
Great.
Being the beginning of Community Safety Month, in my role as a gay and lesbian liaison officer, I've become really aware of how important liaison officer roles are in our community in Victoria, not only gay and lesbian liaison, but multicultural and other liaison officers. Sometimes members of the public will not contact police and only will do so because they're liaising with a particular liaison officer.
Well, that's right. We obviously need to work to make sure we're as open and accessible as we can be, so that's every police officer should be approachable, should be open, should be friendly. People should feel comfortable being able to come up to them and report a crime or ask a question or whatever it is. But we know some people aren't, so it's important that we not ignore that fact and we try and reach them. And the liaison officers generally have been a really important part of doing that and enabling that to happen.
And for the gay and lesbian community, it's about encouraging people to come out and report, because only 1 in 10 people report violence. And that relationship then with Victoria Police, it's getting better and better, and we hope to move that statistic so that we work towards all reports of violence being reported to Victoria Police.
Well, that's right. And we see that in a number of areas: family violence, sexual assault, gay and lesbian people often, you know, for very understandable reasons, being reluctant to come forward. And we need to make it as easy for them as we possibly can to do that.
All good leaders look to the legacy that they want to leave an organisation and, like, leave something behind. What would you like to be known for once you've moved on?
It's about what we achieve, so it's about keeping the community safe. So that is crime, public order and road policing, so being able to achieve, continue to achieve really good results there. But I think it's also the development of the organisation, that we continue to develop, we become more and more professional in the way we do business, that we are held in high regard by the community and we're respected for the work that we do.
And I think the important thing to look at here, we're all talking about Community Safety Month, as well as you keeping us safe. I mean, like, you've got a family of your own to keep safe, so they'd be in your best interests.
Oh, well, absolutely. But it's in all our interests to actually keep ourselves safe, keep each other safe. It's that sort of notion of enlightened self-interest, I guess. We're all going to be better off if we actually have a safe, harmonious, happy community.
And leading something better for the next generation. For the AVP's perspective, you're the third Chief Commissioner we've had a relationship with, and it's now the fourth and the fifth Chief Commissioner in the next decade or so. They'll have a better base to work from in policing this state.
That's the idea. I mean, the notion of a legacy is that you, in effect, leave something, you know, leave the place a little better than you find it. I got a wonderful letter from Mick Miller, a well-known former Chief Commissioner, and essentially that's what he said to me: you've got it for a short time, do your best and just try and leave it a little bit better for the next person who's going to follow you. I think that's good advice.
Chief Commissioner Simon Overland, before I let you go, I was told that your first choice of music was not the Whitlams, but a bit of Beethoven or Bach?
Yes, yeah, I love the classical music. I wasn't sure how it would play to this audience, so I went for something a little bit more contemporary.
Well, next time you come on, I expect you to bring your Beethoven.
Fantastic, love
it. I'm not sure whether we can play that. How long's it go for? Nine.
Well, hours. The whole Ninth Symphony, perhaps. You know, if we could just play that, that would be great.
That'd be it. That'd be the interview.
I'd be happy with that.
Fantastic. Greg, any parting comments?
I think it's just extraordinary, the relationship between Victoria Police and the gay and lesbian community. And if you could drop that message of thanks back to you and all your command and the members right down to police stations from our community, thanks very much, Simon Overland.
Thank you very much for the opportunity. I really appreciate it.
And I think next year when you march in Pride March and lead Victoria Police, you will be amazed at the response you get. You'll be treated like a rock star, just like former Chief Commissioner Christine Nixon was earlier this year.
Well, I'm not a rock star, but I'm very much looking forward to the opportunity to march.
I'm sure we could put a guitar in his hand, put some makeup on him, it'll be fine. Chief Commissioner Simon Overland, thank you so much for joining us down here at Joy 94.9. Look forward to talking to you again and hope everything goes well.
Thanks, Paul.
Career.
Thanks for the opportunity.
We are down here live at the Police Media Centre broadcast. Up in the next hour, a whole heap of stuff coming up, joined also by the President of Joy.
Joy 94.9, the only radio station in the country that's out and proud. Joy 94.9.
If you have any knowledge concerning any crime, call Crime Stoppers on 1800 333 000 or visit crimestoppers.com.au. If it's an emergency, always call 000.
The Victoria Police GLOWS, Crime Stoppers and Joy 94.9, working together to help make our community safe.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.